Hi, I'm Charlotte.
I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time having a bit of a chat and a catch up, talking about whatever's happened recently. We share a recommendation of something we've really loved, and then we move on to discuss a topic that we think is really important and are the sort of things that maybe a lot of people are thinking about but aren't always having the conversation about. And we want to open up that conversation. They normally relate to things about self-growth and development. So if that's your kind of thing, then hit subscribe so you don't miss the episode that we let release every Wednesday. Now, how are you doing? We are recording this ahead of time, but it blows my mind that by the time this goes out, you will have left Vietnam. That's got to be the quickest month ever.
No, I'm in denial about the fact that we're recording on the weekend and I leave on Thursday. And I just can't believe that we'll have been here for 30 days. But that's, where has that time gone?
It's mad. It's just disappeared.
Yeah, it has. But we're flying to, I'm very excited. It's going to be a very hectic few weeks. So I'm probably going to be pulling my hair out with stress in the next episode. But before it happens, I'm very excited. So we're going to Bangkok because I've never been to Thailand before. And then we are going to Cambodia to Angkor
Ooh.
Wat. So like the big like archaeological, so like this massive archaeological park with loads of temples and stuff. I'm so excited. And I need to send you pictures. We are staying in the most aesthetically pleasing hotel I've ever seen in my life. And everything is, so they're like established by an eco, I don't know, some sort of organization, but basically everything's recycled. They don't clean your room while you're there because it saves on like the water and the towels and the sheets and everything. They plant a tree for every person that stays
My
with them,
God,
and then
I
they've got
love
all of
this.
like nature walks and oh, it's I'm gonna have to send some pictures. It is a beautiful building, and it's like
Please
£20 a
do.
night.
That's amazing. I love stuff like that. Like, I think, sure, it's nice when you go away and someone cleans your room every day, etc., but it's so unnecessary. And
Yeah.
when we did, I don't know if I told you about this. When we went to South France a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, our hotel was like, it was a chain. I can't remember which chain it was. It was a Best Western or a Hilton or something like that. And they have a new policy where, like, if you don't ask for your room to be cleaned, they give you a treat each day.
Oh
So
my God.
obviously, like, yeah, we were like,
Love
well,
that.
we don't need our room cleaned. Like, knowing we're saving the water is like a reward enough. But if you're going to give us a present, that's fine. So, like, if you don't want your room cleaned, put this little bag on your door. We won't clean it, but we will leave you a little treat. And the little
Oh.
treat was a travel size of the body, like the shower gel that they use, and it is the most incredible smell. It was like olive scented or something. It just smelled like a holiday in the south of France should smell. And so I got really excited and I was like, oh, I'm gonna put the bag back on the door. This is when we got in on our first day. We're gonna put the bag back on the door so tomorrow they don't clean it, but also we get another one. Because I was like, oh, I'll fill up like a bigger bottle when we get home. Anyway, they must have still been cleaning some rooms. We got a second bottle on that day.
My God, that's
And
amazing.
then I was like, oh God, I now feel really guilty. Like, I feel like I'm conning them. But I have this collection of travel size bottles that I deliberately saved until we moved into our new place because I thought, oh, we can have a nice new shower gel. And I'd actually forgotten about them until just now. So I'm going to dig those out of storage. I thought, oh, a lovely little treat. I
Love
just thought it was a
that.
cute thing. It's like, yeah, we could just ask you to be nice or we could reward you for being nice. And I just love a present. I mean, we're going to overlook the fact that the individually packaged shower gel is probably in itself not great for the environment, but you know,
I mean,
can't
I'm just
be.
more, I just don't like people coming into my room anyway when we're staying in a place.
Yeah,
I'm
I
like, one,
don't.
it's a tip, and two, especially post-COVID as well, I'm like, I don't need other people to come into my room. Like, if I'm staying for a
Yeah.
couple of nights, it's really not necessary.
I agree. And also, I'm like, oh God, then I've got to tidy up a bit before I go out. And it's no.
Yeah, don't want to leave all my crap on the floor and it become a trip hazard for people who are coming in to clean.
I always worry I've like left a pair of like dirty pants somewhere as well. And it's like, oh God, I just can't cope with the stress. So
Although I
the
did
fact that
voice note you about the cleaner here, which is the most mortifying. I've never had a cleaner before. And for our apartment, we get, it's part of like our monthly rent here in Hanoi. It comes, you get a cleaner once a week. Never had a cleaner before. I do have that thing where I'm like, it needs to be tidy before the cleaner comes in.
yes.
Then I realized the day after the cleaner had been that she'd actually pulled, this is so gross, pulled the hair out of my hairbrush. Like she'd cleared my hairbrush of my hair. And It stressed me out so much because I'm like,
When
that
you
is
told me, the
a gross job. Why would you do that?
thing that blows my mind about the whole like taking the hair out of your hairbrush for you is you were like, oh, I need to do that before they come. Am I actually the scummiest person ever? I never remove the hair from my hairbrush. Like, I do it every like couple of weeks, but it's not something I do every day. It's
No,
never
I
occurred to me
don't.
I should be doing it every day.
I didn't mean do it before they come. The only reason I knew that they had done it is because that day before we went out, I was like, oof, there's a lot of hair in my hairbrush. I should probably clear this out. That's how I knew that there was a lot in it. I
Oh,
wasn't thinking.
I thought you were like super organized and clearing out every day. And I was like, my God, I don't do that. I
Oh my
don't
God,
have that
no.
kind of like self-respect.
No, not at all. It was just more, that's how I knew that it had been cleared because I was like, oh God, I need to clear this out. But we were going out. I thought I'll do it later. And then the next morning when I went to brush my hair again, I was like, there is no hair in this brush anymore. And I definitely didn't, I thought about it yesterday, but I definitely didn't do it.
Oh God, that makes me cringe. That makes me cringe.
Moving swiftly on. What are you up to this week?
I'm not up to a lot, but I'm going to tell you something I'm really excited about. So I want to get your thoughts on it. The Barbie movie. I am so excited. I wouldn't say I'm a Barbie girl. Like, I had Barbies growing up, but my Barbies were made to go to work and had a very efficient life, obviously. And I wasn't hugely into Barbie. Like, I never watched the movies or anything like that. But for some reason, Barbie fever has hit me. Now, let's be honest, Ryan Gosling being part of it all is a pull factor. But I'm just so excited. I think they've done the most phenomenal marketing campaign for it.
They have. It has been insane. I'm exactly the same as you. I had Barbies growing up, but never really watched the movies. I'm not like a massive Barbie fan. But then, yeah, the everything they've done, the coverage that they've had, it's made me want to go and watch it.
I literally can't wait. I'm trying to find someone to come with me because no one lives locally to me to come watch it, and Alex just has zero interest. And I don't have any friends with kids who want to go and see it. So I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake. So I think I have to go on my own to see the Barbie movie. But then I'm also like, it's just going to be loads of other people like me. Like, I have Barbie pink nails right now. How not on brand is that? Like,
I did wonder if they were Barbie themed.
they are Barbie themed. She literally went to me, she's like, can we take a moment for the fact that Charlotte Hales has pink nails? Like, but it's, I don't know, Barbie fever has caught me. Like, I love the soundtrack. That has been a big part of my music playlist for the past couple of weeks. And I just think they have tapped into the mindset of people so well. Like, the fact that their original ad campaign was just a pink poster in Times Square with 21st of July written on it. That was it.
Yeah, so
How
good.
brilliant is that? Like, the way that they have gone about this, I'm so excited. And I really like Greta Gerwig. I think she's great, and so I have like a lot of faith in the fact that there'll be a lot of like Easter eggs and details in this that have been really well thought through. I'm just so excited to see it. It's got brilliant cast. I'm really here
I
for it.
read, I have not fact checked this, so I could be wrong. But it was on someone's story talking about the origins of Barbie. Barbie was supposed to be like, I think it was created, was it like the 50s? Barbie was created, something like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, Barbie was supposed to be like this feminist icon because Barbie doesn't like, Barbie is unmarried. Barbie embraces her body. Barbie, like, it was at the time, and like, she's got boobs. She's got like very detailed anatomy for a child's toy at the time. It was supposed to be this feminist thing, and then society apparently has like turned it into more of like kind of the blonde bimbo narrative association with Barbie. And then Greta Gerwig was saying she's basically reclaiming the original narrative. I don't know how much of that is true, but I was like, if that is true, that just makes me want to go and watch it even more.
I find that really interesting. Like, I knew that Barbie was the guy who created Barbie did it for his daughter. And I have enjoyed like the narrative around it as well, like the reclaiming of Barbie to be a feminist icon. And she can literally be anything, right? Like, she can be a scientist, she can be an athlete, she can be like a parent, like, she can literally be anything. And I do love that. I also just really enjoy, like, there's definitely like a feminine camaraderie feel about it this time. Do you know what I mean? Like, She's everything. He's just Ken. It's not hating on men or anything like that, but it's saying like she's brilliant and he's fine. And I just love that. Just love it.
Yeah, and I also feel like Ryan Gosling's done a really good job of embracing that in like the coverage as well.
Yeah, like really letting the women shine. And I just think like, well done. Like we love an ally. Anyway, that's like a semi recommendation of something that I haven't seen yet. But what is your recommendation for the week?
It segues on very well from that, actually.
Oh, I love
It
that.
is a book called Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus.
Oh, I want to read this. It's constantly coming up as something I should read.
It's probably not that much of a recommendation because people have been talking about it online for months now. But I saw that it's coming to Apple TV as a series in October this year, and I'd
Yes.
honestly shied away from it because I thought it was a romance story. And then I looked into it. Basically, it came up on my recommended alongside Margaret Atwood, Angela Carter, Ali Smith, and Madeline Miller, who are
Oh,
some of my favorite.
interesting.
Yeah, along some of my most like favorite feminist authors who also tell epic stories. And I was like, okay, if I misjudged this book, and yes, I had in fact misjudged the book. So it's set in the US in the 50s and 60s, and it follows Elizabeth Zott, who is basically she's breaking like every social and gender stereotype. She's a female chemist working in a laboratory. She's also a single mother. She's in a relationship, but she refuses to get married, and then see, she's fallen pregnant outside of wedlock, and it leads to her getting fired from career. And I won't go too much more into deep. That happens very early on, so that's not any spoilers there. But she then attempts to basically live life on her terms and make ends meet for her and her child, and of course comes up against basically every patriarchal and misogynistic hurdle that you can possibly imagine for a woman in the 50s and 60s, and then ends up taking a job as a TV presenter and like accidentally becomes this role model for overlooked housewives in America in the 60s.
Oh.
And it is the most incredible, inspiring. I will say it was a slow burn at the start, like a very, I was a bit, it took me a good while to get into it. And then the second half of the book, I just absolutely devoured. I thought it was so interesting, so fascinating. And I really found myself properly, like almost out loud, cheering her on. It was just a very empowering story, especially when you think about the context of like the time frame that it's set in.
That's not what I thought the book was, but it's had so many great reviews from people I really respect that I did think, oh, maybe it's one that I should be checking out. And that just sounds like a really lovely book, like the sort of book that makes you feel warm inside.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for writers who can address and tackle really massive themes, but make it into a story where you don't feel like you're being preached at about that theme. It's
Yeah.
just, if nothing else, is a very enjoyable story.
Yeah, I love that. That is like the perfect segue for my recommendation this week as well. It's like we
Oh, I'm
planned it.
excited now. What's
So
yours?
I've got a book as well, and it's called Pineapple Street by Jenny Jackson, and it came out relatively recently, and it just is a bit of everything I like. And it centers around a family of three siblings, two girls and a guy, and the guy has married another woman who has just had a very different upbringing to what they've had. So that the three siblings are very much like the Venn Heights elite. They have this giant house on Pineapple Street. Their parents have a condo down the road. Like it's the wealth that they have as a family is incredible, and it's from like real estate, and it's there's a lot of about it about generational wealth and class, because he marries a woman who is from a very modest background. She has a very quote unquote normal upbringing. Her parents worked a couple of different jobs to like make sure that her and her brothers never went without. And it's about how she integrates into that family and the challenges that they face when they are from different socioeconomic backgrounds, and the things that the siblings kind of expect of her. And in terms of things like signing a prenup and all of these sorts of details that are very normal to them, but to her, it means something entirely different. And similarly to what you were just saying, it's a really interesting look at class and like socioeconomic backgrounds in the US, but I think the themes are really relevant regardless where you are. But it doesn't feel like you're being preached to about it. It's a very easy read. It's an interesting read because even though on paper these three siblings have all this privilege and they've had very similar experiences growing up, the issues they face as adults are all very, very different. And it definitely doesn't shy away from some really big, difficult topics within the book. But it is quite an easy read. Like I devoured it very quickly. The characters all have that sort of like side to them that you can't. You kind of don't root for any of them because you're like, God, you're not a very likable person. But I always quite enjoy that in something because I think most people aren't likable all the time, and there is more value to be had from a person regardless of whether or not they're likable. But it is the per I would say it's the perfect summer read if you are someone who isn't into that like easygoing romance beach read. Like I know you and I just that's not our cup of tea. But this is a very easy summer read, and I really enjoyed it. It's the sort of book I've gone back and thought about a lot afterwards.
Not even heard of that, but that sounds fascinating. I do think like the generational wealth, especially now, and like the state of
Yes.
the economy and how vastly different wealth is between generations, like now, even
Yes.
compared to like 50 years ago. I find that so interesting.
It's
So I'm
really interesting. And one of the things they look at, it was inspired. So the whole thing was inspired by an actual news article a couple of years ago. And I won't say what that news article is because it does give away quite a big theme in the book, but it's based on like actual things that different socioeconomic classes are facing. And like, should generational wealth even exist is a big theme of the book. And I've not read anything that really explores that in such a candid way before.
is also so impressive to me that they can pick up those topics but still be able to tell like a captivating story with it. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's instantly going on the list.
Yeah, it's just a really easy, just like not fun's the wrong word, but like easy to digest read that feels like it's got a bit more substance to it than what I would normally call a quote unquote easy read.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely our kind of beach read.
Yes, exactly that.
It's going on the list, definitely. I'm going to give that a read.
Yeah, let me know what you think of it. This week's topic, we are discussing comparison. And we've spoken about comparison quite a few times over the past few years because it is a really big topic and something we all face. But we want to mix it in with another one of our favorite things, which is celebrating other people and celebrating their wins and just being supportive of others. Because actually, when you feel that comparison kicking in, I think when as soon as you start to celebrate other people, you face it head on. It's kind of like a nice little antidote to comparison. And it's a nice way to do it, but also it's really beneficial to like you as an individual to celebrate others.
Yeah, I love the way of thinking of it as an antidote to comparison because like comparison creeps upon us all, right? I think we can all safely
Yeah.
say that we've experienced comparison in some form and it feels crap. It doesn't feel good. And
Yeah.
often that comparison comes from your own insecurities or a place of jealousy or envy or something that you feel like you're missing out on. And it often does lead inadvertently or directly to you judging other
Yeah.
people. And like there's no part of me that's ever felt good for comparing myself, but also it's never made me feel any better to put someone else down during that comparison process either. And I
Agree.
think this
Agree.
is where the celebrating people just becomes so much more powerful to help you overcome that comparison trap rather than just looking at your own mindset, looking at how your mindset relates to other people and how you can change it from that perspective, I guess.
Yeah, like I think when we compare ourselves to other people, like it feels crap and we assume it's something really bad. Like when we feel that jealousy, when we feel that kind of drop in our own self-worth, we assume it can be really powerful. If you're jealous of someone, it means you want something they've got. Like it can be the most incredible guiding light for you if you allow it to manifest in a way that isn't bitter envy, kind of negativity. If you go, okay, I now know that that is something I want in one way or another, you can, A, you can kind of take that and use that as that guiding light, but also you know that if you got that, you would want others to feel happy about it and celebrate you, because you know that that wouldn't be that you've taken something from someone else. And so I think as soon as you turn around and go, congratulations, well done, I'm really pleased for you, you start to kind of chip away at comparison, because you can't hold both of those emotions. You can't hold the really negative, kind of low vibe energy and also be praising someone sincerely. And I think sometimes by saying it out loud, by going, congratulations, I'm really pleased for you, you almost like trick your brain into it as well. Like you, even if you might not feel it at that second, your memory is then going, oh, but we said that we were happy for that person. And so you kind of start to break down that comparison because you change the narrative in your own mind.
And I think it does feel, especially to talk about it like this, it and like if you're listening, it might sound almost counterintuitive. Like if you're struggling with comparing yourself to other people to then celebrate other people, it doesn't sound maybe like the most natural thing to do. But I do think the more that you can celebrate others, like one, it forces you to realize that you're on a different, like your journey is different. Where if you, even if you have the same destination or you want the same thing, you've had your life experience has been different, that of course you're taking a different route there. And then two, exactly like you said, if you celebrate other people, you're raising your own vibrations, your own outlook, your own positivity. It has that like long-term knock-on effect on your mindset. But then three, I think really celebrating other people makes you realize that someone else's success does not stop you from achieving your own. Like success isn't a
Completely.
finite resource that only certain people, it doesn't mean that, oh, this person's got success and they've taken it away from me. There's enough for everyone in their own way to find success. Like their success is not stopping you from finding success. And I think the sooner realizing that is a really such a key part to overcoming that comparison and that also kind of, I guess, scarcity mindset as well.
Yeah, I think that's such an important part of it, right? Like when that comparison and jealousy triggers in, it's because we're operating from that scarcity mindset. Like we think we're not enough, we're not good enough, we're not rich enough, we're not kind enough, we're not like whatever enough. But that isn't the case. Like someone else succeeding doesn't mean that you failed. And there is enough to go around. It might just be that you take a different path to get there. And that's a good thing. Like I heard something recently about this, and they were saying how they were talking about comparison and the question. It was on a, I can't remember what podcast it was on. It might have been Armchair Expert with Jane Fonda, possibly. I might be wrong. Fabulous episode. You should go and listen to that. But they were talking about comparison and how it's very easy to go, I'm not good enough. I want what they've got. And what you're saying you want is a really small, section of what they've got. If you want that, you have to take everything else as well. You've got to take the good, the bad, the trauma, the excitement, the wins and the losses, everything. And kind of as a moment to yourself to remember, the grass isn't greener. And actually, if you want that, then you have to go after it yourself and you're on your own entirely different path. And you might be sitting here going, God, I'm not good enough for that. But you don't know how that person got there. You don't know why they got there. You don't know their motivations. And you can't control any of that. Like tearing those other people down is, and like saying, oh God, I don't think they deserve it. And operating from that negative space of jealousy is not suddenly going to give you more. Like it literally does not work like that. You're not going to have more. You're not going to feel better. You're just going to also eventually just feel a bit guilty and that. A bit like shameful that you felt like that. And it just isn't your path. It just isn't how like it was meant to come together. And I think if you can celebrate others, that really helps to reconcile it. Like we've all had those moments where we go, oh, I wanted that. Oh, why haven't I got that? Why aren't I there yet? But you know, saying that doesn't suddenly give it to you and take it from them. And
Think, yeah.
I've definitely found, especially in the past couple of years, if I can sit there and go, congratulations, that's amazing for you, it makes that person feel better. But also, like, it makes me feel better because I'm just being nice, but also I'm reminding myself it's possible.
I I really feel like that is such an important point, especially for women and for marginalized groups, because
Yes.
society loves to teach us that we're in competition with each other. Like,
Oh,
it's
God, yeah.
in your career, in how, like, in how you look, in school, in relationships, it's always we are pitched as competition. Even in books, movies, TV shows, other women are seen as the enemy. And that's just so not true. And I think that's such a key part of comparison for women. If we can unlearn that idea that women are all other women are competition and learn to celebrate all women and all successes, we just make the space for us and for marginalized groups more generally a better space. Like, we're literally and figuratively inviting each other up to the table. But that's what you want, right? Like, that's as soon as you can create more of that celebratory mindset rather than just defaulting to like a place of competition, I think it makes it so much more healthier for society, like those marginalized groups as a whole, but also for our minds, our own mindsets and how we, like you were saying, like the effect that you see you have by celebrating someone for you and for them.
Also, think of the times in your life when you've achieved something and you've had someone go, "Congratulations, well done, you did a great job. Like, I'm pleased for you." Doesn't that make you feel great? Why would you not want to let someone else feel like that? That you have the power to make someone else feel good. And I just think if you can make someone feel better at no cost to yourself, then why would we not be doing that? Because when it's your turn, you will want that kind of support as well. And when I was at school, I must have been maybe, and so I know we both went to all girls schools. And I think back to what was said to me in this circumstance so often, and I think this is where a lot of like my comparison has stemmed from over the years. I remember them saying to us, they were talking about gifted and talented programs. I don't know if they still even exist. They were talking about gifted and talented programs and went, "You've got to be more competitive because China has more gifted and talented students than we have students in the UK. So if you want to do well in life, you have got to work hard and compete and all of that." And I don't disagree with telling people that they've got to work hard if they want to succeed. And I think like being there is healthy competition, and I completely support that. And I also know that I'm a very competitive person, but that idea that you couldn't be enough because already this other group of people who you have no context about are like they are more intelligent, they are better than you. It almost sets you up in that scarcity mindset so early on. And like that has been something I've really had to try and unlearn because it's such a like I don't think the intention was ever negative. And I mean, I could do a whole episode about like going to an all-girls school and my thoughts on that, but that's another conversation for another day. But like the idea that there isn't enough, there's fundamentally not enough to go around, there's fundamentally not enough success, you can't all have it, and therefore you're in competition. I just don't think that does anyone any favors, because sure, there are times when comparison can be helpful, like it's a useful metric, but I don't think that is how any of us really approach it, if I'm honest.
That's literally them motivating you from a place of lack. Like,
Yeah, a place of
that's,
fear.
yeah, exactly. And I think this is such a key part of why celebrating people is so important. And this has been proven, and we see it spoken about a lot now, but it's been proven that it's far more successful. Like, if you want to achieve success, you will be far more successful in doing so if you surround yourself with people that you admire or that you want to emulate. Like, put yourself in the room of people that you want to
Yes.
be, right? And that's the exact opposite of what they were telling you. Like, they're saying there's not enough spaces for everyone, so make sure you work hard, otherwise you don't get a seat at the table. Whereas the opposite of that is there's space for everyone to achieve what they want to, and this means celebrating everyone around us so we can learn from and admire and be surrounded by amazing people who we admire or want to emulate in some way. Like, surround yourself with the type of people you want to be like, and that includes celebrating people in the way you would want to be celebrated as well.
Have we discussed that study about high performers and the impact of high performers on teams? I don't know if I discussed with you or someone else. So they've done a study, and if I can find this, I will link it. But let's be honest, I probably won't be able to find it in the eons of articles that I read. But it's so basically the concept they've studied it, and the concept is that if you have a high performer in your team, then the entire team are more likely to be high performers as well. They raise the bar by, on average, about 15%. However, if you have a team of low performers and the attitude is quite negative, there's kind of that feeling, or like you're led by someone who maybe doesn't seek excellence, they don't have high standards, they can be quite passive and kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
Disengaged.
yes, disengaged is a perfect word. Then the average performance of that team will drop by 50%, 50. So the net benefit of having a high performer in your team is so significant, because then not only do you rate, not only is the bar raised, but all of those people can then go and have a positive influence in raising the bar elsewhere. And so we sit here, like, we're taught to compare ourselves and go, we're not as good as that person. But if we go, we might not be where that person is yet, but we can learn from them, and we go and seek out to be around that energy and seek out those teams, like you were just saying, we not only raise our own standards, but we also then raise that of those around us. And I so am such an advocate for we raise others, like we can raise other people up, like elevate yourself and others. Like, I think that is really important. And I think it's a really interesting way to look at comparison, because then I was speaking to a few different friends across different industries they're in. And I was like, would you say objectively, like at a first glance, this is the case for you, like in your workplace? All of them came back and said yes.
Yeah,
And I
I
know
think
that isn't a
so
scientific
true.
study, but I do think there's a lot in it.
Do you remember when we did the episode on flow? And there's again a study that one of my clients showed me, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is. But it suggests that to like access your flow state, you need to be operating like challenging yourself 15% above what is normal. So you're out of your comfort zone, or you're pushing yourself a bit, but it's not so difficult that you feel like put off by it or like dissuaded from it. So that extra 15%, and I feel like that's the same effect. Like you have a high performer and it pushes you a bit. It pushes you that extra bit. And I always think about when I used to play, when I play netball and we'd play against a team who were better than us, not like five leagues above us, but maybe the league above us. We always play better as a team because they're just pushing you that bit more. It raises the bar that bit more. Whereas if you play a team who's three leagues below you, it then you then have a really bad game. And it's interesting that even if you're a great team, if you're playing with other people who maybe don't have as like higher standard of game, it still impacts you despite how good you are as a team or what you can raise up to be if you play a better team. So I do think that's so true in so many different contexts.
Right. And it's really interesting, I think, when you think of comparison, because you automatically go, like, if someone else gets promoted in your team, you can it work, you can easily sit there and go, why wasn't it me? I'm not good enough. I should be more like them. Or you can go, okay, there's this person in my team who's raised the bar. What can I learn from them? How can I, like, literally say, can we grab a coffee? Because I want to talk about how you did this, and lean into it. Lean into the fact that you're a bit jealous. Lean into the fact that you want what they have and see it as an asset, and by the same merit, spread that positivity. Go and say congratulations. Like, don't just thumbs it up when you get the email. Like, actually go out of your way to send them a message and say, how is the new role going? Like, how are you finding it? Like, engage in that conversation, because that positivity, right? Positivity multiplies itself. I know we say misery loves company, but positivity loves company, right? Like, and I think as soon as you start showing that, you create a more healthy competition in the environment, but you also tell your own mind, like, I'm not comparing negatively. I'm supporting, and we will have the benefits of that. And that is so powerful. Like, I think we can forget that we can trick our mind in really positive ways, because you start by tricking your mind, right? And then before you know it, it becomes habit. It wasn't always habit for me to message someone straight away when I heard they had like a promotion or they something good happened. But I've done it so often that now it kind of feels like second nature. And I'm like, why wouldn't you congratulate someone? Why wouldn't you put that effort in? Because it's good, it's exciting, and it makes them feel worthy. Like, why wouldn't we want to have that, like, spread that feeling?
I think if you're wondering how to like tap into this antidote of comparison, like you said, that a lot of it is you're choosing to redirect comparison into celebration. And I think next time you catch yourself judging another person because you're comparing yourself to them, really force yourself to pause and like redirect it towards celebrating. It's not that it's easy either, but I think after you make it a habit and after you have done it for long enough, you really notice a difference to your internal mindset, but then also other people feel great. It kind of neutralizes your own jealousy and it rewires your brain to see that other people are not a threat to you in that comparison space.
Like, as soon as you start to celebrate others, you can't be as self-critical. You can't believe that there is a limited amount of success to go around because you are literally saying, this is great and this is what I'm going to go after. And it takes time, but I think it's like one of the habits that's really worth changing.
Has a powerful like butterfly effect as well, I think.
Yes, definitely, definitely. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And if you are like us and you can fall into that comparison trap more often than you would like, hopefully this has been helpful and given you some handy tips. Hit subscribe for next week's episode. It will be out next Wednesday. And we're going to be talking about self-development and our obsession with it as like a culture. We love self-development, but at what point does it become unhelpful? So hit subscribe so you don't miss that. But in the meantime, have a brilliant week and we will speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.